It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of comedy. Later on, special guest Lana Turner on the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show. But right now, an adaptation of the 1939 motion picture Bachelor Mother, which originally starred Ginger Rogers, David Niven, and Charles Coburn. Coburn reprises his role in this broadcast as he's joined by Fred McMurray and Ann Southern. This episode first heard on the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater on November 23, 1942 on CBS.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. Play tonight, Bachelor Mother. The starring players.
This is Annie Southern.
This is Fred McMurray.
And Charles Coburn.
Lady Esther welcomes you to as pleasant an evening as you've ever spent with the Screen Guild Players. For tonight's play is RKO's delightful farce, Bachelor Mother. And it stars Fred McMurray as David Merlin, Ann Southern as Polly Parrish, and Charles Coburn as J.B. Merlin. Our story begins on the day before Christmas. The day Polly Parrish lost her job in the department store owned by J.B. Merlin and his son David. Naturally, Polly went job hunting during her lunch hour. But she didn't find a job. She found a baby. The baby was wrapped in a blanket and lying in front of an orphanage door when Polly walked past. Well, almost walked past. She ran up to the steps, picked up the baby, and rang the orphanage doorbell. She was standing there holding the baby when a matron opened the door.
Hello, I want to give you this baby. I found it out.
Your name, please.
Polly Parrish. I was just passing by.
Are you employed anywhere?
I'm at Merlin's department store. Say, why the question?
We must know these things before we'll take your baby.
My baby? Oh, you don't understand. I was just walking along the street and saw it lying in the cold.
We're only here to help you, my dear.
Well, you're certainly being a great help. I get fired from my job, and now you want me to...
My dear, many mothers say babies are not their own.
Now, look here. This is ridiculous. This is not my baby. I tell you, I was just walking past the place, and I saw the baby, and then I picked him up, and...
Happy day before Christmas. Fired and an unexpected mother. And that was just the beginning. Before Polly Parrish could break away from the orphanage matron, who insisted that Polly was the mother of the baby, Polly's lunch hour was over. And she hurried back to finish her last day at J.B. Merlin and Sons department store. Soon after, a store messenger came to Polly and led her to the office of David Merlin, the son in J.B. Merlin and Son. The matron from the orphanage was with him.
Come right in, Mrs.
Miss Parrish.
Miss Parrish?
Oh. I am David Merlin, Miss Parrish. After talking to this lady from the orphanage, I'm convinced your discharge was a great mistake.
Tragedy is more the word, Mr. Merlin.
So the job is yours for as long as you care to have it.
Thank you.
And you're being raised $5 a week. We want you to realize, Miss Parrish, that Merlin's department store is the store with a heart.
Miss Parrish, is that the way to express your gratitude to Mr. Merlin?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I owe you both an apology.
That's quite all right, Miss Parrish. I want to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And the same to you. Goodbye, Mr. Merlin.
Goodbye. She's a very nice-looking girl.
Yes, poor thing.
You know, I can just see the ecstasy there'll be on her face tonight when she receives her real Christmas present from J.B. Merlin and Son.
You heard what I said.
What?
You heard what I said you heard what I said. You take that baby out of my apartment this minute.
I beg your pardon, miss. You don't seem to realize that this child was sent special rush by J.B. Merlin and Son. Merry Christmas. Good night.
Come back here and get this baby. Oh. Listen, kid, this is nothing personal. I'd love to have you around, but I really couldn't do right by you. Here, take your thumb out of your mouth and give your teeth a chance. All right, ruin your face.
Who is it?
Fred. You all ready to go stepping, baby?
You said it, kid. Come on in, Fred.
Well, you all ready to...
Is that yours?
No, it isn't mine.
Well, where did it come from?
I got it for Christmas.
Huh? You don't mean that Santa Claus...
I don't know what you're thinking, Fred, but you're all wrong.
Sure, of course.
Just as soon as I get my hat and coat, we'll go.
Well, now, look.
Now, don't worry about a thing, Fred. All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, you mean we're taking the kid, too?
Certainly. Why wait till the after Christmas rush to exchange the presents you can't use? I'm going to play Santa Claus, too, at the residence of J.B. Merlin and Son, the son of a gun.
Yes, miss?
Is this the home of Mr. David Merlin?
Yes, miss.
Well, I must see him. It's a personal matter. He'll know what it's about when he sees me.
Well, couldn't you write him a letter?
Do you think this came as a postcard?
I really couldn't say this. However, I may say that it will be impossible for you to see Mr. David Merlin.
All right, then you take the baby. That's the way I got it.
Oh, but here, miss, you can't do this to me.
And tell Mr. David Merlin that Miss Parrish left it here. And he'll have to use his influence to get it back into that orphanage. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Well, goodbye, baby, Mr. Merlin. On the treetop, Mr. David. When the wind blows.
How's about letting a fella in for a smoke, Polly?
Oh, it's 2 a.m., Fred. I have to get up early.
Oh, come on. Let me in for just a minute.
I said no. Go home, Fred.
Oh, don't be like that, Polly. You said no once. Now let me in.
Rackley didn't understand the young lady.
Mr. Merlin. I was just... That is... Well, Polly... Good night, Mr. Merlin. Good night.
Well, how did you get in here, Mr. Merlin?
The landlady let us in.
Us?
Your baby and me. Miss Parrish, I've seen some low things in my time, but a mother who would abandon her child just to go on a date.
Would it interest you to know that I'm not the mother of that child?
All right, so you're not the mother. You're not employed either.
You're firing me?
I have fired you. And as you go from place to place hunting a job, you'll find that no store in the Merchants of America Association, of which I am junior chairman, will hire you. I'll see to that.
Well, that's prosecution.
And that'll be just the beginning, Miss Parrish. Believe me. Now... Do you want to keep your baby and get your job back, or do you want to be jailed for child abandonment?
Well, you don't leave me much choice. I'd like to have my job back.
Well, that's better. Much better. As the years go by, Miss Parrish, and you and your manly little son stroll into life sunset together, you'll thank me for saving you from this terrible temptation.
Well, I'm really not as bad as you think.
Then why did you do it?
Well... There was no one I could turn to.
Well, what about your husband? I mean, the baby's father.
Huh? Well, you see, we were never formally introduced.
Oh. You poor child. Well, I'll be going. Now, don't worry about a thing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Merlin.
That's all right, Miss Parrish. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Merlin. Oh, just a second, kid. What am I going to do with you? Have you got any ideas? All right, but don't blame me if you get stuck with a safety pin. And I'm just an amateur at folding, too. Who is it?
The landlady, Mrs. Weiss. Could I maybe come in a minute? What are you trying to do, hide the baby? I know about it. Just like you, it looks.
Huh? Are you kidding?
Certainly not. I know from babies. And for you, this baby I'm taking care of personally while you're working. Listen to him talking.
Talking? What's he saying?
Who knows with that dialect?
Good morning, Polly.
Oh, don't talk too loud, Fred. You'll wake me up.
I get it. Walking the floor with the baby, huh? Speaking of the baby, Polly, how's about you getting me a little better job in this joint?
What are you driving at?
Of course, I suppose I could pass my information along to David's old man, J.B., and do myself some good.
I don't know
know what you're talking about.
The baby. David's baby.
David Merlin's baby? I didn't know he was married.
Well, if you don't, nobody does. But regardless of that, don't forget to tell him I want a better job.
Come on, baby, eat. Oh, here, look at Mama. Look at Mama. Make funny faces. Well, you're certainly going for sophisticated entertainment.
Oh,
come in.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Merlin.
Miss Parrish, you realize this is New Year's Eve?
I'll take your word for it. The way I feel, it could be New Year's morning.
Well, it suddenly occurred to me that you must be having a pretty bad evening. I'm going to a New Year's party, and I thought perhaps you'd like to go along.
Oh, well, I'd like to go, but I can't leave the baby.
Oh, well, I've already spoken to your landlady. She'll be glad to watch it.
Oh, well, there's something else.
What?
Well, look, me with a sweater and skirt, we'd make only half a lovely couple.
Oh, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of the clothes. We'll go down to the store and take a complete outfit from stock.
Gosh, an evening gown, silver slippers, flowers in my hair.
And a mink coat. What do you say?
Oh, David, if you wake me up from this beautiful dream, I'll never forgive you.
And, Miss Parrish, if you promise not to tell a soul, I think I can get you a pair of nylons.
Oh, David, you've been drinking.
Miss Parrish. Miss Parrish.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Wise.
Hurry and get your coat on.
Yeah, it won't take a second. Oh, are you sure you don't mind staying with the baby, Mrs. Wise?
Certainly not. Enjoy yourself. You're only young and pretty once. Some of us not even that.
Excuse me. Hello?
This is Fred, Polly.
Yes?
I thought I told you to have your sweetie get me a better job in the store.
What are you talking about?
David Merlin. I know he's there now. I saw him go in. You tell him to give me a decent job tomorrow or I'll feed
you. You what?
I'll tell his old man who the father of that baby is.
Go right ahead. And Freddie.
Yeah?
If you find out who the mother is, let me know.
Well, several hours have passed, and it's very early in the morning of New Year's Day. Polly and David are just returning to Polly's apartment from their New Year's Eve party.
Won't you come in, David?
Yes, thanks. I was afraid you wouldn't ask me.
Why?
Well, after the way you brushed that Fred fellow aside the other night.
Oh. Well, he hadn't kissed me.
Oh, he hadn't? Well, I suppose I shouldn't have, but, well, it was the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, and...
And?
It's just midnight, New Year's Eve again.
It's here?
Yes, that is in Chicago. Happy New Year in Chicago.
The same to you.
I think I will come in.
Good.
We'll stay up and welcome in New Year and the New Year in Denver, Los Angeles, Honolulu, and I can think of a million other places.
Well, let's get in and shut the door.
Miss Parrish?
Yes, Mrs. White?
The baby's asleep. Buzz asleep.
I'll put him back to sleep.
Then I go now. Soon my boy Jerome is coming home from playing the picolet all night. Jerome, he plays in a swinging band. What a dizzy way to make a living in a hammock.
I don't know how I can thank you, Mrs. White.
Those stars in your eyes is thanks enough for me. Only one thing. Promise in the morning to tell me all about the evening.
I will, Mrs. White. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. White.
I guess he decided to wait up and see his Uncle David.
Polly, you've come a long way from the girl who wouldn't even admit this was your child.
Well, this is a very unusual baby.
I don't know why it should be.
Oh, I guess it's heredity.
Oh, sure, sure.
Why, what's the matter with me?
Well, what about the other 50%? You said yourself that you didn't know even who he was.
Well, I don't.
You see?
But I know someone who does. You know him, too.
Who is it?
Fred.
What does he know about it?
He won't tell me, but he's going to tell your father the name of the baby's father. Come in.
Is my son here?
Dad, what are you doing here?
Well, I was just driving around, and I happened to see your car parked outside. So I thought I'd stop in.
Oh, well, Polly, this is my father. Dad, Miss Parrish.
How do you do?
How do you do? And who is this?
Well, this is Miss Parrish's little boy.
A boy? Would you mind if I'm very, very careful? Would you let me hold him just a minute?
Of course.
Here, take him.
Thank you, my dear. See, he knows me. Yes, and I'd know that chin anywhere. What's his name?
John.
John? John what?
John B.
Well, thanks for that anyway.
Take him home. Take him home.
You ought to know. He's your father.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Mr. Merlin, is there anything I can do?
You've already done it, my dear. But perhaps you'd better hold little John B. He doesn't seem to recognize me yet.
Well, of course, this is the first time he's seen you.
Well, that's very true. But after all, blood is thicker than water, you know.
What is this? What do you mean, blood is thick? What's the matter with you, Dad?
Well, I'll discuss this with you at home. Goodbye, Miss...
Goodbye.
Goodbye, John B.
Well, David, he knows if you don't.
Knows what?
Well, I think Freddie told him all right.
Told him? Told him what?
That this baby is your father's grandson.
Oh, well, that's very obvious. Anybody that... What?
And he certainly sounded as though he believed it.
Holy mackerel, will you... I can't...
Sit down, David, and take it easy. I know just how you feel.
Is Dad up yet, Phillips?
He's in the dining room, sir.
What's his mood?
Does that answer your question, sir?
Well, here goes nothing. Dad, I have to talk to you.
I do the talking. Young man, marriage was good enough for your father and mother, and it's good enough for you. You're going to marry that girl. You're going to bring my grandson into this house.
Now, just a second, Dad. I've got something to tell you.
Don't start that with me. You know my temper.
I don't care about your temper. You haven't any grandson.
How can you deny it? I've received information. I saw you with the girl. I saw the baby.
That's not my baby.
Don't lie to me. I got information in a letter. And even if I didn't have it, if I saw that baby on a desert island by himself, I'd know it was my grandson. He looks exactly like me.
Dad, will you let me tell you something? Will
no.
you let me say something?
My mind's made up. Nobody's going to fool around with my grandson. I'm going to take him away from you. You aren't fit to be his father.
I'm not his father.
You're crazy. That's what you are. That's what's the matter with you. You're unbalanced. Here, where are you going?
To see your grandson.
What about?
Find out who his father is.
Phillips! Bring me some more dishes.
Polly. Polly, this is terrible.
Terrible? What?
J.B., Dad thinks that...
Oh, yes, I know. He thought Johnny was yours.
No, Polly, this is no laughing matter. He's going to take the baby away.
I'd like to see him.
Well, that's because you don't know him. He'll get lawyers and investigators. He'll use his influence. He'll get the baby away from
him. Well,
you.
He can't do that. It belongs to me. We've got to stop him.
Yeah, well, what can we do?
Take me to your father and let me talk to him. I'll convince him.
He won't believe you either. He's gone off his head. He even wanted me to marry you.
Oh?
Yeah, he wants me to set up with a ready-made family so he'd have a grandson. I tell you, it's serious.
Yeah. It would be serious, marrying me.
Oh, no, I didn't realize how that sounded, Polly.
Will you please go?
I didn't mean that, Polly. I'm sorry. Now, don't you worry. I'll think of something to get you out of this spot you're in.
Oh, you will? Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Merlin. But I wouldn't dream of putting you to so much trouble. I'm perfectly capable of handling this myself. And I promise you, by this time tomorrow, your poor innocent child will have a new father.
Mr. J.B. Merlin will see you now. This way, please.
Thank you. Now, be careful, Jerome. Don't forget what I told you to say.
Oh, not a chance. I got it all wrote out here on my shirt cuff.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Jerome Weiss.
Mr. and Mrs. Weiss? I thought my son introduced you as Miss Parrish.
Oh, well, that's the name I use in the store. We've been married 2 years.
That's right, 2 years.
Your son David just called, and there seemed to be a misunderstanding about our baby.
Ain't that a laugh? When my wife, Polly, here was first telling me, I couldn't believe she meant my baby.
Your baby?
Sure. Ain't he the image of his papa? The faraway look in his eyes?
Yeah, and they're both bald-headed. So you see, Mr. Merlin, there's no need sending anyone to investigate the baby. It's a waste of time.
I can't believe it. It's as though there'd been a death in the family.
There. Oh,
Dad.
That sounds like my son.
Dad, I've got great news for you.
You have, David?
Yes, you see this fellow here? He's the father of Miss Parrish's baby.
What's that you said, David?
Go ahead, Fred. Tell him.
Mr. Merlin, my wife's a very nervous woman. My son is my son, and I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't send any investigators around to make any trouble for us.
That's very interesting. David, do you know who this is?
Who? Where?
Sitting over there in the corner.
Oh, Polly, but who's the man?
That's the father she brought. You two seem to have slipped up someplace. You've got one too many fathers. And I'm going to prosecute both these men.
Hey. Mr. Merlin, your son made me do this. I'll tell you the truth, and I know what I'm talking about. Your son is the father of that baby.
He's lying, Dad. That worm with Miss Parrish must be the father.
Hey, don't you believe it. I'm only the landlady's son. I'm not the father.
I don't care who the father is. I'm the grandfather.
Polly, Polly. Where is she?
She's gone.
Gone? She'll take my baby. Catch her. I want my grandson.
Polly, let me in, quick.
Get away from there.
Open this door. Now, let me in before Father gets here. I have to tell you something.
I don't care. I'll never open it. Get away. You get out of here. You're not going to get this baby.
I'm not trying to take your baby away from you,
Polly. Then leave me alone. You've caused me nothing but trouble ever since the first time I saw you. You know so darn much.
Polly, listen, please.
I won't.
Well, you must. You don't know what I've been going through here since you threw me out of here this afternoon. I thought I was doing all this because I wanted to help you, and now I know better.
So do I. You're just a busybody.
Oh, maybe, but I'm also in love, Polly, with you.
Huh?
It's the truth. You've got to believe me.
Oh, David, do you mean it?
I can prove it. It must be still New Year's Eve somewhere.
Oh, David.
Oh, darling.
Well, so I found you. I knew it. I knew it all the time. Well, David, what do you say now?
Dad, I confess. I am the father of that child.
David!
Well, those are the first true words that have passed your lips in 48 hours. Come on, Johnny. Your parents are all tangled up. Let them straighten it out. You are going with your grandfather. And when you two can come to me as an honest married couple, you'll be very welcome. Until then, good day. Come on, John B., the second.
Well?
You heard what Grandpa said. Let's go.
Do you mean that?
Sure, I got the license on the way down.
And you're willing to spend your life with a ready-made family?
The family is you and Johnny.
You know something, David?
What, darling?
I'll bet this is the first time in history that a baby ever gave birth to a mother and father.
Thank you, Fred McMurray, Ann Southern, and Charles Coburn, for your sparkling performances in our version of Bachelor Mother, which was adapted for radio by Bill Hampton. You know, ladies and gentlemen, all of the stars appearing on these broadcasts donate their services for the benefit of the Motion Picture Relief Fund.
It's a pleasure to appear for such a great cause, Mr. Bradley, and the shows are really fun. But now Fred is going to tell everyone about next week's surprise program. But first, here's a word from one of our best-known beauty experts, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Southern. In the early part of this program, I offered to send free to every woman who is listening 9 different shades of Lady Esther face powder and also a tube of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. Did you ever stop to think that maybe the shade you are now using is not exactly the right shade for you? Well, here's your chance to find, once and for all, the shade of powder that is most flattering to your skin, the shade that makes you look your youngest and loveliest. When you receive your gift, first, clean your skin thoroughly with Lady Esther face cream, and then try on one of the shades, for example, Rochelle. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, is this the shade for me? Is this my lucky shade? Then remove the Rochelle. Clean your skin again and try on another shade. Try them all, one after another. When you come to the shade that's right for you, you'll know it the instant you put it on your skin.
And now, Fred McMurray.
Before telling you about the surprise Miss Southern mentioned, your Uncle Sam has asked me to tell you about a new career that's open to all women. Many of you will be working in war industries. Some of you will be working on farms. More of you will be in essential civilian jobs, and others will be enlisted in the armed services in the WACs and the WAVES. But you all must have one career in common, and that career is the regular purchase of government war bonds and stamps. They tell me that women spend 80% of America's national income, which means that the responsibility for the purchase of these war bonds and stamps is yours. The president has designated this week as Women at War Week. You can take a part in this week and begin a new career by making yourself Uncle Sam's personal representative in your home. Now, about next week's show. Lady Esther will present the Screen Guild players in Samuel Goldwyn's smash comedy hit, Ball of Fire, starring lovely Paulette Goddard as the Ball of Fire and as the pedantic professor who learned about women from her, that great romantic lover, Kay Kaiser.
Fred McMurray is currently appearing in the Paramount picture, The Forest Rangers. Ann Southern will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Three Hearts for Julia. And Charles Coburn has just completed Merry-Go-Round, the Columbia picture. Next week, then, Ball of Fire with Paulette Goddard, Kay Kaiser, and Richard Hayden. Music on this program was directed by Wilbur Hatch. The Screen Guild players are presented by Lady Esther. This is Truman Bradley saying thank you and good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 23, 1942 on CBS. The story Bachelor Mother, which was first adapted on the silver screen in 1939, actually received, including this broadcast, four radio treatments, among them the Lux Radio Theater, and two more repeats on The Lady Esther Show. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for The Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest actress Lana Turner. This NBC episode first heard on the 16th of November, 1947.
Jason Sanborn Coffee and Royal Puddings bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Nelson Case, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you from Radio City, New York, on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Pat Patrick as Ursel Twing, and our special guest, Lana Turner. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, thank you, thank you. This is Shade Grove McCarthy and Vacuum Pack Bergen. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I'm alive. I don't know, just glad I'm alive.
Well, that's fine. Charlie, I was told that yesterday...
Yeah?
...the police brought you home in a squad car.
Oh. I'm dead.
Yes. Tell me, what is it all about, Charlie?
Well, Bergen, it's a long story, Bergen.
Yes.
It's a long story. And a dirty one.
Yeah, I believe that. Young man, I'm going to get the truth out of you if it kills me.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, we all have to go sometime.
Well, no matter what you've done, young man, remember, I feel that I must share in your guilt.
You do?
Yes.
Say... You certainly were a naughty boy yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah. What did you do yesterday, Charlie?
Well, you know Squirrel Puss, my pal.
Yes.
Squirrel Puss and, oh, there he is.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, we rode down Fifth Avenue in a bus, you know. Went to the end of the line.
Yes.
Educational.
Yes, yes, I know.
And then the driver gets off the bus to get in and get a cup of coffee.
I see. And so you two sat there.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's when it happened.
What happened?
Well, I was just sitting there, see?
Yes.
With one foot on the throttle.
I see.
Minding my own business.
Oh, of course, yes, yes. And,
Yeah.
Yes.
If I can get past this point, I'm all right.
Yeah, yeah. And,
Yeah.
And what was your own business?
Trying to figure out what makes the bus go.
Yes, I see.
I figured it was educational.
Yes, of course, yes, yes. You sort of tinkered around with the dashboard.
That's right, little tinker that I am.
Yes, yes.
And the first thing we knew, the trees were going past the bus.
I see. You mean you were moving?
Well, either that or the trees were on wheels.
I see. Well, that's awful. You're not familiar with New York traffic rules. Did you go through any red lights?
No, no, no. We took them with us.
I see. Well, I hope you had the bus under control.
Oh, we did that. But it was the road that got away from us.
I see.
We were going lickety-split, lickety-split.
Yeah. And what happened?
My lickety-split.
Oh, I see. Well, didn't it occur to you that you should have stopped the bus?
Oh, we did. And as soon as we opened the door, about 20 people got on.
Yeah?
And they all dropped money in the kitty.
In the kitty?
Yeah.
Well, I see. And did you get off?
What, and leave all that dough?
Oh, I see.
I shall never forget the day as long as I live. It was just wonderful.
Did you have a load?
No, we were cold sober.
Well, what happened?
Well, then we took a shortcut through Central Park.
Yes.
And we ran into a squadron of pedestrians flying at low altitude.
Yeah. Any casualties?
There were 2 direct hits and 2 unconfirmed.
I see.
One of them must have been very nervous. Very nervous.
Why?
He went all to pieces.
Oh.
And then we made our first mistake.
Oh, then you made your first mistake.
Yeah. We started through a tunnel.
Yeah, a tunnel.
Yeah. This we shouldn't have done.
No, no, no.
I hollered, low bridge.
Low bridge.
But the bus forgot to duck.
I see. You tried to sandwich your way through.
Exactly, sir.
Yes.
The bus went in a double-decker.
Yeah.
And came out an open face.
I see. Well, if there was any doubt about getting through the tunnel, why didn't you drive around it?
Bergen, that is the coward's way out.
I see. And that's when you got mixed up with the police.
Yes. They proved not to be not only New York's finest, but New York's fastest.
I see.
And, oh, by the by, Bergie.
Yes?
You have a date at the police station tomorrow.
I do.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. You know what that means, don't you, Charlie?
Yeah. Your hotel worries are over.
Yes, I see.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I see that. Well, why are you so happy?
Well, don't tell nobody.
No, I won't, no.
But I think the love bug snuck up on me.
No. No.
Yeah.
The love bug.
Yeah.
Well, what makes you think so?
Well, I met a beautiful girl.
You did.
Mm.
Well, well, well.
And every time I think of her, I get all covered with goose pickles.
Yeah.
That's a sure sign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Mortimer, you've always been so bashful.
Yeah, I know you.
Yeah. And you mean you're really interested in girls?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Well, that's fine.
I reckon I'm starting to sow my wild oatmeal.
Oatmeal,
yeah.
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 Well, love is a wonderful thing. You've heard that saying that it's love that makes the world go round, haven't you?
No, no, no. No. How does it go?
Well, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Wasn't much to it, was there?
No, there wasn't, no.
Nearly missed it. Yeah, yeah.
However, my advice is to be cautious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Remember, a clever girl can make a fool out of you.
Yeah, well. Well, what have I got to lose?
How did you happen to meet this girl?
Well, she's working in one of them big compartment stores.
I see.
Downtown.
Yes.
And I sort of smiled at her.
You smiled at her?
Yeah, and you know what she did?
No.
She smiled back.
She did? She smiled back at you.
Yeah, I see.
And what did you say to her?
Oh, I ain't said nothing yet.
Oh, I see.
When I look at her, my tongue gets all loose.
Well, what?
Tongue gets kind of pigeon-toed.
Pigeon-toed, yeah. You can't talk.
No, that's it. I'm unspeakable.
Unspeakable, yeah.
Well, it's plain to see that you've fallen pretty hard for her.
Yeah.
And does she go for you?
Well, she don't go nowhere.
Oh, I see.
No, she just don't go nowhere. She just stands there in the store window.
In the store window?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mortimer, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but the girl is a dummy.
No, I don't care. I don't want no girl that's smarter than me.
No, I don't. No, what I mean is, she's a mannequin.
No, she's a girlikin.
Yeah. Mortimer, falling in love with a department store dummy, how did you ever become so stupid?
Well, love can do it to anybody.
Yes, I guess you're
Hey, Ray.
Yes, Charles,
Ray.
What is it?
I was looking through Bergen's airplane luggage,
uh-huh.
And guess what I found?
An airplane?
Oh, no. No, some of Bergen's old love letters.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh,
yes. You know, this stuff makes Forever Amber sound like Winnie the Pooh.
Well, Charlie, that's not cricket, old boy. You shouldn't have opened them.
Yeah, well, these letters are so hot, they steam themselves open.
I say, Charlie, you know, they must be old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that means a rare stamp.
Yeah.
Yes, well, is it early airmail?
No, early Pony Express, I think.
There you are. They're really old. They must be a collector's item.
Yeah, and I'm the little item that's going to collect on them, too.
Oh, no, Charles, I shouldn't. Really, you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Come on now, Ray. I'll let you read a couple of lines for 10 cents.
No, Charlie. Couldn't. I wouldn't want to be a peeping Thomas.
No. Right this way, folks. Right this way. Get them while they're hot.
Charlie, what are you yelling?
Bergen's old love letters, Anita. Here, 10 cents a peek, huh?
Oh, that's pretty high, isn't it?
Well, I'll let you smell the envelope for a nickel. I have a special on today here somewhere. Let's see. Yeah, read this right here. Read that.
Oh, okay.
For nothing, you can read that.
Eddie, dear, that day in the Nickelodeon when you smiled at me and snapped your bow tie... You made me the happiest girl in the world.
I say, oh, boy, really?
Snapped his bow tie.
Whoopee! 22 skidoo.
Racy stuff, isn't it?
Charlie!
Charlie, I want those letters. What are you doing with them?
Give them... No. You can have them, Bergen, for $5.
For $5?
Yeah.
What do you take me for?
$5, I hope. You know.
Why, that's nothing short of blackmail.
Well, shall we call it a new type of old age security?
No, we won't. Why, if I were to give in to your demands, I'd be an idiot.
Then it's settled.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't, and I won't pay it.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
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 Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night. Welcoming in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy, crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose. Out of a thousand invitations but in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose out of the thousand invitations you'll receive. Oh, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve. What are you doing, New Year's Eve?
I just got to get those letters back from Charlie,
oh,
Ray.
I should say so, Edgar. I wouldn't let the little chiseler get away with that. No. I'd figure out something.
Well, you know, Ray, I was just thinking. Yeah. Lana Turner's in town for the opening of her new MGM Pictures, Cass Timberlane and Green Dolphin Street.
Oh, yes.
Now, if she would only work on Charlie...
Yes.
Oh, well, of course she wouldn't, though.
Oh, but I would.
Why, Lana Turner.
Look, Edgar, about those letters. Now, if you really want them back...
Oh, I do. I do. Of course I do.
Well, then just call the boy over.
Call? I'd be glad to do that. Charlie, look who's here.
Yeah, why, Lana, my little filly.
Why, McCarthy, my little Charlie horse. Tell me, have you been having fun traveling around the country?
Yes, in a way, but it's a long road that has no Turner.
Charlie. Charlie, I don't think it's right for you to ask Edgar to pay you to return his letters.
Yeah, well, what's really wrong with that? Nothing.
Well, after all, you shouldn't bite the hand that you're feeding.
Yeah. Well, but the money, it isn't for myself, really. It's for the starving.
Oh, who's starving?
My piggy bank.
Well, with that attitude, you'll never be a success.
How do you like that? Still in knee pants and already a failure.
Charlie, let's see where all this is going to lead.
How?
Now, look, you let me look at your hand and see what the future holds for you.
Oh, yeah. See what the future holds for both of us. Who taught you to read hands?
The lady from 29 Palms.
Oh, cut it.
My Charlie, I've never seen such lines.
And may I say the same about you?
Why, your fingers are all the same shape.
All the same shape, yeah. It's what we call five of a kind.
Your index finger's a little flat, though.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that has a meaning.
Oh, well, it has a meaning.
There's a lesson there.
Oh, there certainly is. I'll never stick it in a ringer again. Now about my heart line. What do you tell me about?
Well, wait until I untangle it.
Yeah, it's a mess, ain't it?
Why, Charlie, you have two of them.
Yeah, one couldn't take all the traffic. What is this little thing right here? What's that little
thing? Oh, that's the girdle of Venus.
The girdle of Venus. So the old girl's getting a little chunky, eh?
Oh, I
I see some trouble for you in the near future.
Yeah, well, I bet she'll be worth it.
I see you're involved in something dishonest, Charlie.
No.
Yes, why, you're selling your future for a mess of pottage.
Do tell, do tell. What's pottage selling for these days?
Well, I don't think I can get much more out of your hand.
Oh, but try, Lana. Try squeezing it.
Now, about Edgar's love letter.
Yes?
You're going to be a good boy and give them to Lana, aren't you?
No.
Oh, come on, Charlie. Be noble.
Oh, I say, did somebody call me?
Oh, no, Ray. I'm reading Charlie's palm.
Oh.
Oh, do you believe in palmistry?
Well, a phrenologist read my head once, you know. But frankly, I think there's nothing in it.
I see you have a well-developed bump here. Now, that's what is called the bump of curiosity.
Oh, that is? Well, I got that trying to look over a transom.
And what's this bump? A gift from your mother-in-law?
Isn't his head an unusual shape, I think?
Yes. I've often thought of having it, shall we say, re-blocked.
Well, we kill that for you. Oh, we got a lot more good ones, Leo. I wish you'd quit talking about your head, Ray. You're always making a mountain out of a molehill.
No, but seriously, I mean, reading the bumps on one's head is just terribly fascinating, I think. How does one learn it?
Well, I'll tell you, Ray.
Yes?
You start out in a small way.
Yes?
Reading warts on a pickle.
I say, that's rather good, isn't it, don't you think?
Yes.
Warts on a pickle.
Yes?
That's really a dilly.
Oh! Oh, say, stop. Miss Merkin Gherkin.
Yeah.
Now, please, Ray, leave us alone so I can concentrate on Charlie's palm.
Oh, very well, then. But would you promise to read my palm sometime?
All right. Yes. You come back in about 20 years.
Oh, how awfully nice of you. Morning or afternoon?
Oh, how... how about tiffin time?
Oh, wonderful.
Late tiffin.
Now, Charlie, you're going to give those letters to Lana, aren't you?
No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's me, Arisa Twingfrail.
Yeah.
And I'm here because rumor has it... simmer down. rumor has it that there are some love letters for sale.
That's right. What do you want them for?
Well, I buy love stories that are just full of romance and sadness to appear in my magazine, True Goo.
True? I never heard of it.
I used to be with the magazine Looky Looky.
Looky Looky.
Yes, and after that I changed the name to Drip Drip and I tried to sell it to Fawcett Publications.
Well.
Yeah.
Bloop Bleep.
Oh, that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
But we're going to start a weekly news magazine now.
Oh, like Newsweek?
No, guess again.
More like Time?
Not Time either.
No.
It's 50% better than Time. We're going to call it a Time and a Half.
I see.
And you mean you'd print Edgar's personal love letters?
Well, I wouldn't print anything that I wouldn't want my little old Aunt Hetty to read.
Say, how is your little old Aunt Hetty?
Oh, do you know her at all?
No, I don't know her.
Oh, you don't know her? Well, she's a pin-up girl in a Second Street bowling alley.
Oh, I
know. Tell me, do you write up new stories or love stories?
Well, love stories are really my long suit.
Oh, so that's her long suit, isn't it?
Well, not exactly my long suit either, because my long suit is at the cleaner's. Well, it's not funny. I'm having a chocolate eclair removed from the pocket.
Well, you don't look like the romantic type at all.
Why don't you try a spoon and a fork?
Oh, well, no, of course not. No.
You really don't look like the romantic type.
I don't.
Throw it to him again.
Tell me, are you in love?
Am I in love?
Oh.
Oh, no, not me. I found love a snare and a delusion.
Well, tell us what happened.
I'll tell you what happened. There's no place here for smart aleck. I was in love, and you're no exception either.
No.
And just pay attention. I I was in love with Teresa, the bearded lady, but she gave me the brush.
Well.
Well, did she mean a great deal to you?
Oh, for goodness sakes, my gosh, yes. But another fellow stole her. She was the light of my life.
Why, the bolt snatcher.
What about buying these letters? You know, the public will just eat this stuff up.
Eat them up?
Yeah.
Oh, eat them up. That reminds me, it's time for brunch. Goodbye.
I always like to see him go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie, you can see that you can't sell those letters.
Yeah.
And something tells me you're going to give them to me.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do something, Lana, really?
Yes, am I getting warm?
No, but I am.
Are you going to give the letters to me for nothing?
No.
For a kiss?
Yes. Yeah, I'm all ready. Tell me, is my pucker on straight?
Oh, Charlie.
Phone LaGuardia Field, boys. I'm coming in for a landing.
Listen next week for our special guest, Carmen Miranda. This is Nelson Case speaking to you from Radio City, New York. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
The Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show on Tuned to Yesterday from November 16th, 1947 on NBC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.